We still do 7 NUFC Matters shows a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email john@nufcmatters.com to arrange today. Welcome along to NUFC Matters Thursday night. Means Super Mac and Gibbo. Good evening, chaps.
How are you doing, Steve? Boys?
Hello, John.
Good to see you. Pre-recorded show, so we can't take your questions tonight, unfortunately. But as always, plenty to talk about on the Newcastle United beat. And first of all, I did predict a win last weekend, John.
You did. And it's getting flipping boring. I'm getting sick of beating Fulham. I mean, we've played them three times this season. It's three wins, six goals scored, none conceded. Yeah. Can you believe that? With our defence, we've let in no goals against Fulham. And I looked it up, you know, the three games we've played them. In all three games, we've fielded our second-choice goalkeeper, Dubravka. And I looked at the back four, remembering last season, you know, when we were terrific and we let in the fewest goals, and Eddie said the reason we've done so well is I won't tamper with the back four. I like the understanding. I'm ready to mix and match in midfield and up front, but not with the back four. In those three games, we've played eight different people in the back four. When you with Kraft and Hall getting in this time, we've had eight people in the back four. We've had the cover goalkeeper, never the first choice goalkeeper, and we've let none in. It tells you how powder puff Fulham are, doesn't it?
Incredible that, though. But I tell you what, we did see, John. We saw Eddie Howe lose his temper in that game when he didn't see the desired effect. He'd given his team talk. He'd put the team out, and of course, once they cross the white line, there's nothing much more you can do. But then Dubravka got told to go down after getting an injury. Mad Dog told him to get down. He went down. He was getting treatment. And Eddie Howe went through them like a dose of salts. We haven't seen that very often.
No, I haven't. And I was delighted to see it because there's a need for that sometimes. You can't be the Fonz, Mr. Cool, all your life. At some stage, sometime, you've got to shake the bottle of pop and let the lid come explode off, haven't you? And their manager complained afterwards that we did it. So what? I mean, that's what people do. They do the right thing. You know, we weren't waiting for the stretcher to come on with Dubravka. We knew precisely what was happening. But, there was a need to get into them, and we got a response, and that is the good thing. The second half, we did ever so well. And again, you know, I'm just thinking, Malcolm, you know, I looked at the team. It was our third match in a week. I was surprised at the initial lineup that we didn't start with Anderson and Barnes. And the only reason why we didn't, presumably, was because it was the third game in the week. And after long layoffs, could they physically stand it? But when they come on, they made a big difference, didn't you think, Malcolm? I thought both Anderson and Barnes made a difference.
Yeah, absolutely they did. And all of a sudden, we became alive in attack, didn't we? You know, we'd sort of been so sleepy up until then, and we started to actually create a bit of danger on Fulham, who have been doing it to us all the while. How many shots of Fulham's went within a foot of the post, just wide? There must have been a 10 or more. We'd certainly got away with absolute murder in the first half, I thought, we just didn't play. But, yeah, things changed on the substitutions, John. Barnes, he's certainly looking, and I want to see him fully fit and really into things and just see what he can do. But my question is, Barnes plays very much on the left-hand side. What do we do with Gordon when Gordon looks as if he could get into the England side for the Euro Championships in the summer, playing on the left?
You play him on the right, bugger, the European Championships. Right. I want to get into Europe with Newcastle United. And Gordon, I mean, you know, playing Trippier left back or didn't stop Trippier being Newcastle's England's right back cover. So, if it was up to me, Mal, on Saturday against Spurs, I would field Barnes on the left, Gordon on the right with Isak, and I would play Anderson for Willock, whether or not Willock was fit, because it looks as if he probably won't be. But even if he was, he started, which I thought was a surprise, and was just because Anderson couldn't last 90 minutes. But again, I thought he was a poor shadow of the Joe Willock we know that he can be. I'd play Anderson ahead of Willock, Malcolm, and I'd bring Barnes in on the left and play Gordon on the right, because Jacob Murphy didn't have his best game. Almiron is not the player he was at the moment, so that's what I would go with. Because, you know, with Gordon and Barnes and Isak, Malcolm, all three can score. All three can score goals.
Yes, they can. And all types of goals as well. Just remind me, so when was Almiron on form then?
I think it was 2 years ago, wasn't it? For a half a game in the second half at St James's Park, I think it was.
Something like that.
East scored some goals. Marley did all right last season.
Everybody did all right last season, Steve. It's this season which has been the problem.
Yes, and really, I think that Almiron, he's had an absolute stinker of a season.
I tell you what, I'm just going to have a little bit of fun just to make Steve feel that much better. Bye, we've missed Chris Wood's goals, haven't we? He's hammering them in for Nottingham Forest. I mean, good gracious me.
Just check that out, John. You've stole me thunder a little bit. Short conversion. Best in the Premier League seasons since 2010-2011. Chris Wood, conversion rate, 41%. There you go. Joe Willock, 34% in 2020-21. Cissé, 211, 212, 33%. And Patrick Aubameyang, 32% in 2007-2018. Best in the Premier League seasons. That's another record that Chris Wood's breaking there, mate.
You know why, pal? Because he never gets on the ball to be able to convert. You see,
that's right.
90% of the time, he's not there. I mean, let's put it this way: if we were to sign him this summer, because we've got problems up front with the fitness of Callum Wilson, etc., I think I would not be certain whether I was going to jump in the Tyne, and bear in mind I can't swim, or cut my throat. But I wouldn't certainly not be full of elation. Do you realise, young Mr. Wraith, that when he scored a hat-trick at St. James's Park earlier this season, that's more goals than more Premier League goals than he scored throughout his Newcastle career at St. James's Park?
Which was 18 months, wasn't it?
Right. In one afternoon, he beat his own record over about 2.5 years.
There he is. We'll miss him. We'll miss Chris. He was a good lad. Had the best interest of the club at heart. Anyway, he's not the worst striker we've had.
He's a good lad and has the best interest of the club at heart. So have you, Steve, but I don't want you to play a centre-forward for Newcastle.
Malcolm, the Malcolm MacDonald derby was, you know, I mean, I did see the Fulham manager afterwards. He wasn't happy. He said he felt his team deserved something. I've got to be honest, on the balance of play, I think they did deserve something out of the game. They had better possession.
Probably. No, you don't. If you miss chances, Steve,
but they didn't that's score.
Bad football. If they you didn't miss score. Chances, that's bad football. And therefore, you deserve, excuse me, 3 games played, 3 defeats, no goals scored, 6 let in. Fulham manager, argue why Fulham are as good as Newcastle. Not a cat. Chance.
Yeah. No. Also, do you not feel that VAR is getting a little bit too big for its boots?
Because with
the disallowing of that first
that
goal.
That was nonsense, Malcolm. Nonsense.
Hmm? Wasn't
that was
it?
Nonsense.
It was sheer nonsense. The referee, he was close enough to see it perfectly well. And then he's asked to go and look at the screen by VAR. And they convert him.
I mean, Burn.
Why? Because it seems that whenever they go to the screen, they change their minds and give a goal.
And what was going to happen, Malcolm? You're right. I've seen Michael Oliver not do it, but he's the best referee in the country, so he's strong. This guy, in fairness to him, he's hardly had a handful of Premier League games. He's not going to go against authority once he's called to the screen. He's not going to overrule VAR and say, I'm sticking with my decision, because his future would all be behind him.
John, as soon as the referee is told to look at VAR, he should take his earpiece out so nobody can talk to him. Yep. Let him just judge it on his own and not hear anybody else's opinion at all.
Well, we all know, don't we? We all know the minute the referee's invited to go pitch side, we know it's going to be a no goal or it's going to be a penalty or something. It's automatic, virtually, at that stage. And to be truthful, Big Dan, yes, he went up all elbows and knees because the way he's built, he is all elbows and knees. But he was the guy he was going up with, the ball was nowhere near either of them. He didn't take out the defenders. Right. The ball passed way over the head out to Shaw, who finished well. The Fulham manager goes on about we deserved something, etc., etc. If we had drawn 0-0 because Shaw's goal was chalked off, that would have been a travesty of justice.
Yes, it would. Also, I do feel that when the ball has left both the two guys and they were sort of having a little tussle, when the Fulham player went down, have a look at his reaction. He got straight back up and continued with the game. There was no looking at the referee. There was no hand up. There was no... He wasn't looking for a foul, which told me he didn't think he had been fouled. He had just come second best in a tussle. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing, Steve, is that having got ourselves under the cosh, the 7 points we've taken out of the last 9 has revived our season, hasn't it? It's put us back in with a chance, a real chance of making Europe. And as we said on this programme last week, because we only got the draw against Everton instead of the anticipated win, it meant we had to win at Fulham. But we did win at Fulham. So 7 points out of 9 was terrific, because we would have took winning both our home games and drawn away at Fulham. We would have took that before we started. So we've got 7 points out of 9, and that was a terrific return and has put us back in with a big shout, and makes the match this weekend absolutely huge, of course, because it is a big time match again, because for the first time in weeks, Spurs are back in the top four, which means they've got something to play for up here, because they're back in the Champions League position, and so have we.
But John, did you watch the Spurs Forest game?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Yeah. Well, to start, I thought Tottenham were absolutely awful.
They were.
They were dreadful, and they didn't give me the feel that they really wanted to play to win, and Forest were looking much the better side. Chris Wood scored, of course,
and then badly missed.
You love it, Steve, don't you?
Badly missed, reverted to nature, and stuck a ball past the outside of the post.
Yeah,
when it was more difficult to put it inside the post.
Yeah,
but
I would hope that we are going to be a lot better organised than I saw from Forest against Spurs. But Spurs did not impress me one iota. I thought it was just Forest falling apart on the day, having had a good start.
In lots of ways, Malcolm, just thinking about it now as you were making the point there, which is absolutely true, in lots of ways it reflected our game at Fulham. We were hopeless first off.
Yes.
Spurs were hopeless first off. We win, Spurs win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a lot of reflection. But all I would say at this stage, guys, is that they're in a Champions League position. We're going for Europe. And by the way, we have done our favour to Spurs. We're not going to do any favour for them on Saturday, because they're only in a Champions League position because we took 6 points off Aston Villa. Aston Villa are level on points with them. We've took 6 points off Villa. They wouldn't be in with a shout of the Champions League if we hadn't taken 6 points off Villa. So we've done them the favour, so they can come up here now, drop the trousers and take a nice little smack on the bum, the same as they did last season.
Yeah. We'll come to that game, of course, towards the back end of the show. Just want to ask the lads about Joe Kinnear, of course, who passed away age 77 at the start of the week. And John, I'll come to you first on this, because we did a show with Joe, if you remember rightly, at the Lancastrian Suite. I think we had him up here, and I got to meet him on that particular night. I've got mixed opinions of Joe Kinnear. I mean, he was a hell of a player. Won some medals, of course, as a football player. Then went into management. I think he won Manager of the Year at Wimbledon. The crazy gang. But one of football's characters came to Newcastle in that Mike Ashley era, which was never gonna please Newcastle fans. Didn't completely disgrace himself, you know. Didn't take us down, and then had to step upstairs because of health injuries. But what's your thoughts on Joe Kinnear, mate?
that's a good one. On the plus side, and we all like to be nice because the guy's just died, and you've got a lot of affection. He was one of the most lovable guys, one of the most crazy guys. He was the perfect guy to manage the crazy gang at Wimbledon, because he was as crazy as the crazy gang, and so they got the best out of each other. Super player when he was at Spurs. He made his managerial reputation totally with Wimbledon against all the odds. I think they ended up fifth top in the top flight, which for Wimbledon was absolutely incredible, and still is. Probably only topped by Leicester winning the title. But I've got, bless him, I've got a lot of affection. I knew him when he was up here. I found him terrific company. I've got to say, I've got to be truthful, at exactly the same time, I think by the time he came up here, he was hopeless manager, bless him. He hadn't a clue by the time he came up here. He just it was all wacky. He always had affection because he was a character, one of the biggest characters in the game. But he came up here at the end of his career, and I thought was typical of the managers we were getting under Ashley, because I think Chris Hughton apart who I did rate and thought did a terrific job for us under desperate circumstances. We didn't have a bundle of Manager of the Year candidates during Mike Ashley, did we? And the simple reason for that is the real Managers of the Year wouldn't have accepted Ashley. When I'd put Chris Hughton in there, in fairness, I'd forgotten one name. I would put Rafa Benitez in there as well, as managers under Ashley that did well under very trying circumstances.
Pardew got us to Europe.
Yeah, but he was as much use as a glass eye the rest of the time. I mean, I don't want to give him too much credit for that, because you can have one great season. Yes, he got his fifth top, and that was blown not by Pardew, that was blown by Ashley, who decided in the summer, because we got fifth top, we didn't need to buy anybody, and I think we bought one guy, didn't we, neither. Also, and therefore, we went back to where we normally are, which was 15th or 16th the following season. Absolutely hopeless. No, I can't put Joe Kinnear, me top 10 Newcastle United managers of all time. I've got to be truthful about that, because I think he falls about 27 places out of that lot. He wasn't a good manager for us, and he was past his sell-by date, but I've got a lot of fond memories from him as a personality, and certainly what he did at Wimbledon, they've got to put him up there. But yes, if there's a statue going up to Joe, it's got to be at Wimbledon. I don't want it to appear the next day Bobby Robson, while there isn't one to Joe Harvey up here, I can tell you that.
Malcolm, did you come across Joe as a player?
I was a player, yes. He was a regular in the Spurs side for certainly all the years that I was at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And he was a very, very good footballer, very good indeed. And of course, it was Northern Ireland that he played for, I think. John was.
No, it was the Republic, Malcolm.
Oh, it was the Republic, was it?
It was the Republic,
but an excellent player. A little story on him. Do you remember, John, in my first season, we played Crystal Palace in the opening game down at Sellers Park, and the refereeing was as normal. And then on the Tuesday or Wednesday, we played at Tottenham. And what they did was a referee's clampdown without telling anybody. They didn't tell us. They didn't tell the clubs. They didn't tell the managers. They didn't tell the players. The referees just had a clampdown. Tottenham had about five players booked, which was unheard of back in those days. Absolutely unheard of.
You could get away with murder.
Joe Kinnear, he was actually booked because there was a long ball played up the line, I think by Frank Clark, but it was going out for a throw-in. And Joe Kinnear, he went running across, caught the ball as it bounced up, and went behind the line and took a quick throw-in, and the referee pulled it back and booked him for handling it on the pitch.
Because the ball hadn't gone out
over the line. And we all just looked in utter amazement. And it made a bit of a shambles of the game, in all fairness. And it was Joe Kinnear that sort of set it all off that night with...
He had a tendency to set it all off, Malcolm, did Joe?
But I thought he was an absolutely terrific player. Wimbledon needed a very, very special type of management, and he was perfect for it. He gave it to them. But it wasn't exactly creating a great CV for other clubs.
And also, Malcolm, I felt when he, I don't know about you, but when he went to other clubs to manage after he'd been to Wimbledon, he didn't find a dressing room like the Wimbledon one. It was unique because they were all crackers, weren't they? Fashnou and Vinnie Jones.
Yes.
They were all crackers.
Yeah.
you go to another dressing room that's serious in scholars of football or whatever, and it's a different, it's a whole different ball game, a different type of manager. If you can manage Wimbledon, the crazy gang Wimbledon, it doesn't mean you can manage Newcastle United or other clubs for that matter.
Well, yeah. I think you're left with very few clubs that you could manage.
You might remember this, Steve. Can you remember when he come up to Newcastle, his first press conference he took with the press, somebody counted the number of times he swore, and I think it was 57 in the first minute and a half.
I think most of those F's were, I think they were put towards Simon Bird.
Yes. Oh, I mean, his use of the English language was absolutely magnificent. And, it was very colourful, and he had a way with words.
Definitely.
One word in particular.
Yes.
He was definitely a character. And I guess the other character we'll have to talk about with this week's events is Mike Ashley. We thought we'd seen the back of him, John, but he's back again. Newcastle, of course, in dispute with Mike Ashley over the sale of the new Newcastle United shirt, which we now know is going to be coming out. The home strip certainly comes out on June the 7th. Adidas returning back to St. James's Park to provide the strips after a period with Castoria. The dispute seems to circle around the fact that Newcastle won't give Sports Direct the option of selling the strip. Instead, they're doing an exclusivity deal with JD Sports, who, of course, were Mike Ashley, I think, sworn enemies back in the day. I don't think they get on very well with these people.
Was it Dave Whelan's company?
Yes, indeed, John, who was the chairman of Wigan for many years. And Dave Whelan, of course, had been a professional footballer and a top footballer as well with Man United. He was a hell of a player and got a serious injury. He was 24 when he had to retire. Saying,
Steve, that joking he had a way with words, I think you had a way with words there when you said that Mike Ashley is in dispute with Newcastle United. He was in dispute with the Newcastle United fans for a decade and a half. So what's new, then?
And there speaks the man who was barred from the stadium with all his fellow journalists at the Evening Chronicle for 18 months.
I was, John.
Sorry? 18 months.
I think it's called telling the truth. I think you're not supposed to do that.
Naughty. Naughty, John.
I know. Well, that's what he said to me. He said, naughty, you're banished. All I did was go upstairs with my mates and sit with my mates, and I got a good meal in a bottle of wine, whereas downstairs in the press room, I just got a right tanking off Newcastle United for telling the truth. But I survived it, and I'm back in there, and I was there before him, and I'm there after him. So, and weren't we all the guys on the terraces exactly the same way?
Yeah.
Great stuff. We are halfway through the show, chaps. Time for the ads. A big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Go to their website, skipsandbins.com. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com or telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Easy contract free and pay as you go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Go to their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Email info@mrvickys.co.uk or telephone 01768 210102. Thanks to United Group Travel. Go to their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email info@unitedgrouptravel.com or phone 01670 632 460 or mobile 0791 666 4174. They're a local company from Morpeth, and there are no strangers on our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Big thanks to Media Arts for all the help with the video side of things. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, hit the subscribe button under the video, click the thumb up to like the video, and click share to your social media. If you want to help the channel financially, you can pay a one-off £25 fee. You get a cup, a scarf, a pen, and a membership card, and entry into the NUFC Matters monthly draw.
Email john@nufcmatters.com for more details. Or if you've got a smartphone, scan the QR code now and it takes you straight to the membership pack. We also support the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk and you'll find the matchday bucket. You can make a donation virtually today. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify and other podcast providers. We also do events during the year. NUFC Matters Live will be at the O2 City Hall on Friday the 2nd of August for an evening with Rob Lee, One Night in Antwerp. Tickets start at £15 and you can get them from ticketmaster.co.uk. An evening with the entertainers takes place on Friday the 24th of January 2025 at the Tyne Theatre and Opera House in Newcastle. Telephone 0844 249 1000 or visit the website tynetheatreandoperahouse.uk to buy tickets today. You can also catch me on the North East Footy Breakfast Show live on Tune Radio weekdays 7 till 9 a.m. on DAB, smart speakers and thetuneuk.com.
And don't forget, end of season party, 20th of July at the Irish Centre. Super Matt and Gibbo doing a talk-in with myself, Ask George, and the Long Sands doing an acoustic set in aid of Dementia Matters. Tickets are tenner at the Irish Centre, newcastlelegends.com or nufcmatters.com to buy your tickets today. And Peter Beardsley at the Irish Centre on the 2nd of June. Tickets are £19 and they are available on voucher or go to nufcmatters.com or newcastlelegends.com to buy your tickets today. And Malcolm, you've got an event with Chris Cross coming up still?
Yes, absolutely. On Tuesday, 23rd of April. It's just in a couple of weeks now. And that's all taking place in Wickham. If anybody would like to go, it's a tenner to get in, and it's going to be a cracking evening because he is such a funny guy but a brilliant magician as well. You can get tickets at if you log on to chris-cross.co.uk.
Good stuff. Excellent. Get along. Chris is a great lad, great magician, as Malcolm says. It'll be a cracking night. Lads, want your opinion on Yankuba Minteh, who is currently plying his trade at Feyenoord. He was in the starting lineup for Sunday's meeting with Ajax, and he set up the opener and he scored the second goal and the fourth goal in a 6-0 win. He was substituted in the 76th minute, got a standing ovation. As he doesn't drive, he tends to walk home to the back to his house where he's living at the moment from the match. He had to get an escort from the club because he was mobbed by the supporters. He seems happy out there at the moment. He is on loan. He is a forward. He's 19 years of age. We accept, I guess, that the Dutch league's not as good, maybe, as the Premier League. But is he going to be the answer to our prayers, this Gambian international, Malcolm, next season? Do you think Newcastle might have a look at him in the pre-season and decide what they're going to do?
Well, I would think that they're keeping their eyes on him now and having a good look towards the end of the season, because they're going to have to make a decision on him. And there's a whole variety of ways that they can move forward with him. I think he must be absolutely cock-a-hoot. Bless him. What a game to have over there in fabulous stadium. The crowd would have been going wild.
It's the big sort of derby, isn't it? It's the big
It is, John. Yes,
you know Ajax.
It is
Jordan Henderson's club. I think they might be managed by Ten Hag again next season. I think Ajax after he's left Manchester United, and. But that was some result for the kid.
Yes.
Wonderful. And yes, the league's nowhere near the Premier League. But let's put it this way. The way our lot's been going down like ninepins this season, if he was at Newcastle, he would be playing now, the same as Miley's been playing and the same as Anderson's been playing and everyone else, the same as Lewis Hall recently has been playing and Emil Kraft's been playing. If he was here, he'd be playing at this end because of the injuries we've had. The point is that we have talked about buying an outside right. in the summer. We've talked about buying centre forward, outside right, centre half, left back. But we have talked about an outside right, not an outside left, because obviously Barnes and Gordon's available there. We're more than stockpiled there. So they'll do what they always do, Steve. They'll bring him across, he'll play for us pre-season, and then they'll decide whether he goes back to Feyenoord or whether he stays and becomes part of our first team squad. They did that with Anderson, didn't they? He kept going out on loan, and then eventually he did so well in America at pre-season for this season that we kept hold of him and put him in the squad. And he's been unlucky, you know, that he was on fire pre-season. And if he had managed to stay fit, he would have played all the games that Miley has played. I don't mean that as any criticism of Miley, because he's done terrific since he went in. 17 and what he's done. But Anderson would have been ahead of him. If Anderson had been fit, Anderson would have had all those games under his belt. And he's beginning to show now, you know, what he's got and what he can offer in the future. Mm. I mean, they're without looking back heel on the winner we scored at Fulham. You know, he did a back heel blind, if you remember, in the touch, back heel blind, took out two defenders, balls crossed, panic when on Barnes cross, just wildly hooked out, and we're finished. Anderson's going to be a good player. And he benefited by what he did pre-season. And I bet this kid goes on tour pre-season with us. And then they'll make a decision whether one more season out on loan before he comes to us, or he stays with us. The Australian kid, I think, is much further back. He will...
Garin Kuahl.
Yeah, he will be nowhere near the first team next season. Mm. He's much more further back in the pecking order. He will be out on loan again. He's got a long way to come to be anywhere near our first team. The other boy hasn't. The other boy hasn't.
Yeah, but it's a real fillip for all the youngsters at the club when they see what's happened with Miley this season, Anderson, and what have you, that that must make them absolutely hungry to get better and better and better. And of course, it's good for this lad over in Holland, the way that he's playing, because Howe is not afraid to put youngsters in and literally to pluck them from where they're playing and just say, go on, get in some, go and do the business. He did it with Miley, and it looked to me as if he just left Miley just to find the pace of it himself, that he wasn't sort of being messed around, he wasn't being shouted at, he wasn't sort of being told where to go and what to do. They just left it to Miley in his earlier games, and I thought that was lovely, and that they allowed him just to gently bed into the side, and certainly he did that.
Miley and Anderson give us a tremendous base in midfield of young boys coming along. I mean, they could be the backbone of, you never know, people lose form, they get transferred, they get a bad injury, heaven forbid, etc., etc. But in Miley and Anderson, we look to have two players that have got a real future.
Yeah.
And local kids brought up through the academy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I would agree, mate. I would agree. Mm-hmm. I think it's an exciting time as far as youngsters' development concerned at Newcastle, and let's hope it continues, because it's one thing that Dan Ashworth was given a remit to do, and it looks like he has done it well. We have signed a lot of up-and-coming youngsters, and hopefully we'll have a degree of success with them coming through. And who knows? We might have a few more local faces coming through as well.
Is he good with Dandelions?
I hope this isn't a Chris Wood reference.
No. It's just that it's an interminable time, isn't it, for somebody who has just achieved all of that, and to be out on gardening leave and not taking part.
Ashworth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, blow him. Let him have the best loan in there. In the country, if he ain't going to be part of us, I've forgotten about him. Who's he again? Can you remember? He only passed through here for a short while, didn't he?
He did.
Very short while.
Got to ask you about Bruno, lads. You know, when he was, you know, when we were talking on the show, whenever we build up to the show, we always say he's got to avoid these bookings. He's got to avoid these bookings, otherwise he's going to be suspended. I've got to give credit to him because playing in the role that he does, with the temperament that he's shown since he signed for the club, I think he's shown a sense of maturity here, Malcolm, to get all the way through to the Spurs game, you know, without picking a booking up. I don't know whether it's right to be praising somebody to do that or not, but I just think he's shown a different level of maturity to do that. And let's hope he gets through the Spurs game without picking a booking up. I've got to ask the question, though, if he does pick a booking up, do you think he might go for a sending off by taking his shirt off or something?
Like Anthony Gordon, you mean?
Yes.
The interesting thing with Bruno, and well done him, because I tell you what, recently you can make a case out where Bruno's carried the midfield. The form that Longstaff and Willock's been in, or the lack of form that Longstaff and Willock's been in, he's carried the midfield. And he's avoided all the bookings while carrying the midfield. And you know, he says when he scored the winner at Fulham, he was going to take his shirt off, and then he remembered one more booking in his house. Now, there's two things we can say here, Steve. We can do what you've just done, which is terrific, and say, hasn't he shown maturity? And we must congratulate him. He hasn't been booked in 10 games or something so that he doesn't get a ban. You can flip the coin and say, if he can do it for 10 games, keep a grip in the other games, because some of the bookings were absurd. And they were absolutely nonsense.
It was like he was sending an invitation to the referee to book him.
Don't kick the ball away on a free kick. Don't do your nuts in on a throw-in. You know, if we can bring that discipline permanently, then we've got yet another layer of a great player. Because I tell you what, that curtailing that ferocity and showing some discipline hasn't spoiled his game. He still looked a terrific player. It hasn't taken the edge. You know what they often say? You know, if you've got a wild man, you take away the wildness, you've only got half the player you would normally add. It hasn't proved that in the last 10 games. He's played as well during this period as he did before, and he's had no bookings. So why not, in the future, Bruno, do yourself a favour, the club a favour, and the fans a favour, by just having that little bit of discipline? Because we want you in the team. We don't want you suspended. And by the way, if you get the chance, can you lock Gordon in a room with you and just tell him how you did it? Because, he become a quiz when he got sent off. There's fans immediately after the game saying to me, is he on 8 bookings? Is he on 9 bookings? Because he got another booking that game. Or is he on 10 bookings? Because he got 2 bookings in that game. So it was one of those. I mean, it was once you got the first book in that game, he was better sent off, wasn't he? Because he just got one match ban.
Yeah.
On totting up his bookings, he would have got a 2-match ban. But I mean, John, that
they're very close now, aren't they, to having them all squashed?
Well, Gordon's squashed now. Gordon's on 8. Gordon's on 8, and there's only one match to come until it's all over. So if he booked on Saturday, he's only got 9. So Gordon is not going to be suspended.
Yeah, and then he goes back. They all go back to 0.
Yes, he's wiped out. Bruno's got one more match to go. That's the Spurs game. And if he survives that without the booking, he's wiped out. And he would have survived it if Steve hadn't put the mockers on him by saying, let's congratulate him on not getting booked. That's the biggest certainty that he's going to get booked on Saturday, of course.
Good stuff. I've just got to talk a little bit about the women's team as well, lads. They could clinch promotion again this weekend. The FA Women's National League Northern Premier Division title is on the line Sunday, 14th of April. Kicks off 2 o'clock. Tickets on sale from the club in advance, priced at a fiver for adults and a pound for kids. As well as leading the league standings, Newcastle have got the highest average attendance in the division, which was backed by a Kingston Park attendance of 4,256 when they beat Liverpool Feds 5-1 in their last match. And a crowd of 22,307 went to see the February FAWNL Cup semi-final win over Portsmouth women. They're expecting another big attendance this Sunday. Lads, you know, we cover the men's team on here. We often talk a little bit about the women's team, but, you know, Malcolm, credit to them. You know, Amanda Staveley's put a lot of time and effort into this personally as well. Credit to the women's team, and we wish them all the best over this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly do. I've got to know one or two of them, and they're real dedicated pros, you know. So they've got to be taken seriously, the game they play is somewhat different to the men's football, which is why I would never want to commentate on the ladies' football, because I'm too sort of used to men's football. But what they do very well indeed. There's some terrific skills from some of the players. The lassie at Chelsea, James.
Plays for the men's team, doesn't he?
Oh, her finishing, it is sensational. And so for that, I enjoy watching it.
I want Newcastle women's team to be in the top division, which is the division that matters. there's no question about that. Amanda's backing the women's team, and the way that the rest of the board are backing Amanda on that, it will happen. I mean, we went full-time pro this season in a league that hasn't got full-time pros, and that's why when you get 20,000 going to St James's Park and you knock that into your average attendance for the season, you're going to have the best attendance. There's absolutely no question. In the Northeast, you know, has produced some wonderful women players down the years, from, you know, Stephanie Houghton, all the way through Jill Scott, all the way through to Lucy Bonds, who was born on Holy Island, for goodness sake. How can you say she was voted World Women's Player of the Year, et cetera, et cetera? How many of those type of players have been born on a place like Holy Island? I mean, there's only six people live there in 20,000, and she was born there.
Sorry, I can't make the fixture this afternoon. The tide's in.
And you know what saddened me at the time was that we have produced so many wonderful players in the girls' game, in the women's game, over the years, the Northeast. And they've all had to go and play for Sunderland, because Sunderland was the only team of any consequence in the area. Newcastle were nowhere near that, et cetera, et cetera. So they all played for Sunderland. And good luck to Sunderland and Jill Scott and Houghton and Lucy Blondes. Everybody played for Sunderland. They won't have to go to Sunderland in the future. They can play in black and white, and that will gladden my heart. And because when we get in the top division, it'll be us. And we will get in because the clubs put their whole strength and their whole power behind this for it to happen. And it will be good for the city and good for Newcastle United. So I'm 100% with them. Well done, girls, this season.
Yes.
Get the job finished. You've done terrific. You got to the cup final. Never mind losing. And by the way, if you lose a cup final, you don't want to lose to a side called Hashtag. What was all that about? Like, I mean, you know, the side that played Hashtag United.
Yeah, strange name.
I mean, isn't it? That's what, I mean, I had people looking up on the map of Great Britain, looking for the town of Hashtag. wouldn't know where it come from. Mind, that was older people. But come on, Newcastle, terrific. You get the leg up next season, and then one more push, and you suddenly hit the big time. And well done, and that will be terrific to see. And I think the girls have got great support amongst the the Tyneside community. Anyway, what is different, I think, about the women's game to the men's game, where the men's game can be quite tribal and has down all the years, etc., etc. The women's game is almost like a family occasion, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. The man go with his younger wife and the three kids, and they're on the terraces and they've got the flags, and it's a family day out. Whereas our football, I'm talking about the football we've followed all our life since we were bairns, the men's game, is tribal, as we saw with Rangers and Celtic and whatever at the weekend there, and we see with Newcastle and Sunderland. It's a different sort of atmosphere, but there's a wonderful family atmosphere at the women's game. Well done, then.
Newcastle take on Spurs this coming Saturday at lunchtime. It's a 12:30 kickoff, but is live on TNT Sports once again. Kit sponsor Select confirmed the special one-off shirt will be worn by Newcastle United's team against Tottenham Hotspur. The name of the charity yet to be released. The Saudi Arabian event management company are yet to donate the front of the shirt advertising to an as yet undisclosed charity for the game. Team news. Joe Willock is expected to be the latest name on a list of unavailable players, which includes Nick Pope, Miggy Almiron, Tino Liveramento, Matt Target, Jamal Lascelles, Sandro Tonali, Joe Linton, Sven Botman, and Lewis Miley. News on Kieran Trippier is still awaited. There is some talk of Callum Wilson readying himself for a comeback, but there's nothing concrete in that news as yet. The striker has netted in four of his five appearances for Newcastle United against Tottenham Hotspur. Spurs early team news, Ryan Sessegnon and Manus Solomon are both injured. Old boy Fraser Foster is still out of the squad. Richarlison is predicted to return to the squad for this game. On the road, well, this season, Ange Postecoglou's side have won six times, they've drawn six times, and they've lost just three. Those defeats coming at Wolves, Brighton, and at Fulham. Three of the last five away games have ended in scored draws, and they've scored at least once in all but one of their 15 Premier League games away from home. Referee is Tim Robinson. This is a quick return to Newcastle United's fixtures for the West Sussex referee. He oversaw our 3-0 home win over Wolves last month. Before that, he was in charge of the 4-0 success against Crystal Palace at Gallagher and the 3-0 defeat at Everton. VAR is Stuart Atwell. If you can't get to the game, it will be televised at Freight in the Big Market, Pumphreys in the Big Market, and the Dog and Parrot on Clayton Street West. Wunderbar in the Gate have also got it on. Free entry, no reservations required at that bar. So, travel news as well. Tynebridge, don't forget the refurbishment program is underway. That's going to take 4 years, so you're going to have to find ways and means of getting into Newcastle other than over the Tynebridge. It'll be absolute chaos on the other bridges as well, so try and bear that in mind when you're traveling by road, and check your train services as well. No strike action planned for this weekend, thankfully, but there is a little bit of issues on the metro, but check with Nexus before you travel. The food bank will be outside the ground. The usual stall and bucket shakers will be on Strawberry Place, and Jamie Rubin will once again double all cash donations made on the match day. So, Tottenham come to town. We could do with a start like we had this time last year, Mal. Five goals up in 20-odd minutes.
Yeah, couldn't we just... my word, that was one of the most amazing 20 minutes of football that I've witnessed in my life. It really was. And Spurs were just so demoralised. It seems to be something that they carry with them. This demoralisation. Against Nottingham Forest, in the first 10 minutes or so, Spurs looked demoralised. And if I were Eddie Howe, I would be playing on that. You know, get on top of them. And when you're on top, make sure you stay there. And that's what we did to them last season. And I look forward to us going and doing it again. And we've got much to play for. And as much to win for, because we're looking as if there is every possibility of getting a European place, and We have got to make sure that we don't lose at home.
John, huge game this, because as you mentioned at the start of the programme, Newcastle win this. They're right back amongst it. They're back amongst it now, but this would really cement a push for Europe.
Totally, totally. Because this is one of the few difficult games on paper. I know our difficulties when we play the lesser sides rather than when we play the big sides, as results have shown this season. But there's only this and possibly Man U, because it's away, but we've already beaten them twice. Did look of any sort of tough variety. And both sides have got something to play for. They're in the top four for the first time in yonks. And we are really 6-7 points out of 9 really going for European place. You know, the amazing thing with Spurs is that when Harry Kane left, everybody thought Spurs would fall apart because Kane's goals kept them afloat for years. And everybody thought big hands coming in. Oh, yeah, sure. But he had it easy. It's Celtic. The only challenge Celtic had was Rangers. And the Rangers challenge isn't what it used to be in the old days. So perhaps he had an easy life up there. But he's done terrific. He's brought the club philosophy back, which is we play on the front foot, not the back foot. But by the way, Eddie Howe's done exactly the same in Newcastle. We played on the back foot under Steve Bruce. We play on the front foot under Eddie Howe. So that's terrific. But, I mean, they've got good players. And if you're four top, you're going to have good players. And the one person that seems to have benefited to a certain extent by Kane not being there is Song, who had looked not so good last season, but he now looks the wonderful player we know that he is, and he is a wonderful player. And they've got Maddison back, Richarlison, who could be back this weekend, has suddenly got the form that makes him look like a Brazilian international rather than this fella that was lost when he first left Everton and went to Spurs. It's going to be tough. But then that's what the Premier League is. It's tough. And it's not impossible. Ironically, and when I looked it up, I was quite surprised, you know, that Spurs have lost less games away from home than at home. They've only lost 3 games away from home in the Premier League. They've lost 4 at home in the Premier League. But they've won the other 12, mind, at home, which is the huge difference. But they've only lost 3 times away, so they don't get beaten away. And as you said, Steve, recently they've had a few draws away. They don't get beaten easily away from home. But I think our tails have gone up by getting 7 points out of 9. I think we are better against the good sides, whether it's mentally. The fear is taken out of it. It's a challenge. Come on, let's get in there. The crowd's up for it. We are up for it. Let's make it a match. And we'll get results. We've beaten Aston Villa on the way. We've beaten Manchester United twice. We've beaten Manchester City. We've beaten Paris Saint-Germain. We've beaten Arsenal. So that it's no games are write-off when we play the good sides. And this is a good side, but it's not as good as Manchester City, who were beaten. It's not as good as Arsenal, who were beaten. And Paris Saint-Germain are playing in the quarterfinals of the European of the Champions League, and we took their backside out 4-1 up here. So we're beating sides that are better than Spurs. So I'm going for us to beat Spurs. Narrow win, but I'm going for us to beat Spurs.
Scoreline 2-1 I'm going for. John, what about you?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I'm not going for the old clean sheet, because we've just run out of clean sheets by playing Fulham. Getting clean sheets so often against Fulham, there's no clean sheets left. So I'm going that they'll score as well, because they are an attacking side. But 2-1 would be my forecast, yes. But Newcastle to win, certainly.
Malcolm, what about you?
Yeah, well, if Spurs are looking at any particular weakness, I think it's in midfield with Newcastle. But Willocks won't be playing. He's out. So and presumably it'll be Anderson playing in his place, and I think that strengthens us up. With Bruno, he's on absolute top form at the moment. He really is, and he and a goal just sparks him off. I'm looking for big things from him against Spurs this Saturday lunchtime. And so I think that you two guys have stolen the scoreline that I was going to say, because I
you
think
can still see
2-1 as well.
You can 2-1 as well.
Yeah, 2-1 as well.
Well, let's hope we're all right, lads. Let's hope we're all right. Look forward to seeing you gents next week with a smile on your face. Have a good week. Enjoy the weekend. And look forward to seeing you then. Take care, lads.
Indeed. Take care,
everyone. All the best.